Thank you, Stephen, and good morning to each of you. I'm glad to have you here with us this morning. Glad to be with you. It's a blessing to meet with the people of God, to come together and look into the Word of God, to hear the voice of God. And that's what our desire is each time we gather together, and I hope that that's your heart this morning. You know, as we think about remembering, some of us, as we get a little bit older, we start thinking, you know, a little bit more about remembering. We have more memories, but we have more difficulty bringing them back to our minds sometimes. I don't know if we got any amens on that or not, but you might not remember to say amen, or you forgot that you didn't remember something that was that you had forgotten. But memories are important. Very important to be able to remember and to remember. How important it is to remember people and to remember events. I'm going to get this fixed up here as we work on a little bit more some technology. I just want to, as we think about today being Memorial Day in our nation, as we are tomorrow actually being Memorial Day, here in our nation. Just wanted to start out as we think this morning about remembering those who have died in the military service of our nation. We're going to be blending that together somewhat as we're thinking about our main focus this morning, remembering the Lord Jesus. So as we begin that, I want to just show you very quickly a little video, just about a little less than 2 minutes, which will bring our minds more as we think about our nation and we think about those who have given themselves for our nation. So we'll start that now. We think about those who have been so willing to give of themselves, and I don't know if you know anybody personally who has given their life, who's died in the service of our country, but we know, as it showed there, over a million back since the Revolutionary War and on through the Civil War and up through the wars, even today, the battles. And whatever you may personally think about any of those specific wars, just the reality that because people have given their lives for us, we are able to be blessed in that way. This morning, though, our focus, we're going to be thinking somewhat about the... pull this out. I don't know if that'll make a difference or not, but we're going to be thinking somewhat about our nation and Memorial Day. But what we really want to think about this morning, and using that as somewhat of an illustration and a base, is the idea of remembering the Lord Jesus who gave His life for us. And we're going to turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 11. That's a familiar passage to some. Others of you may not be quite as familiar, but we're going to read this together this morning, and we're going to be looking at some thoughts about remembering. And as I said, we're going to be referring back a number of times to the Memorial Day that we'll be celebrating tomorrow as a nation, and using that to help us have some thoughts concerning remembering the Lord Jesus Christ. So 1 Corinthians chapter 11, and we'll begin our reading at the 20th verse. Paul writing here to a local church in Corinth about 2,000 years ago, but we know that all Scripture is breathed of God and it's relevant for us today. The 20th verse says, "Therefore, when you come together in one place, it is not to eat the Lord's Supper. For in eating, each one takes his own supper ahead of others, and one is hungry and another is drunk. What, do you not have houses to eat and drink in? Or do you despise the church of God and shame those who have nothing? What shall I say to you? Shall I praise you in this? I do not praise you. For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, 'Take, eat. This is my body which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me.' In the same manner, he also took the cup after supper, saying, 'This cup is the new covenant in my blood. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death till he comes. Therefore, whoever eats this bread or drinks this cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of the bread and drink of the cup. For he who eats or drinks in an unworthy manner eats and drinks judgment to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this reason many are weak and sick among you, and many sleep. For if we would judge ourselves, we would not be judged. But when we are judged, we are chastened by the Lord, that we may not be condemned with the world. Therefore, my brethren, when you come together to eat, wait for one another. But if anyone is hungry, let him eat at home, lest you come together for judgment. And the rest I will set in order when I come." We're going to look this morning at this text, and what we'd like to do is just draw out very briefly seven aspects of this remembering that Paul is speaking of here. Now, we know from the song Joseph sang, it reminded us that in everything we do, in every aspect of our lives, those who know the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior should be remembering the Lord Jesus. It shouldn't just be one time a week. It shouldn't just be 1 hour a week or even 2 hours, but it should be all during the week and all during our lives. A sunset should make us think about Him. The smile of a child should make us think about Him. The difficulties of life, even a tear, should make us remember the Lord Jesus. But the Lord Jesus has also specifically instituted a time when the believers would come together and would remember Him. And that's what Paul is speaking of here. And as we look at the first aspect of this remembering, is somewhat interesting because of the way it may strike us as we read it. And I'm sure it was struck them right between the eyes, because it's the aspect of confrontation. And in the first three verses, beginning with verse 20, we see that Paul begins his discussion on this subject of remembering the Lord by confronting the believers there in the church in Corinth. Now, as I was doing some research concerning Memorial Day, I came across several websites that were dedicated to returning the celebration of Memorial Day to its original purpose. And in those websites, they were confronting the readers in what was a very appropriate way, I think, regarding attitudes and actions about this national holiday. And I must confess that they convicted me. They were bringing forth the question, have we strayed from the intended focus on remembering and honoring those who have died in military service for our nation? And the writers of these websites were striving to challenge Americans to stop and to think. And the confrontation that Paul brings here to the Corinthian believers was again a very appropriate way to confront them concerning their attitudes and losing sight of the true meaning of the breaking of bread, the Lord's Supper. In fact, Paul began there in verse 20 by saying that it had deteriorated so much that when they came together, it was not to eat the Lord's Supper. Now, they didn't have signs out in front of a building back in the first century. They didn't have a bulletin like we do. But even if they had, if their sign had said, at this time we're going to be celebrating the Lord's Supper, and even if their bulletin had said, at this specific time we're going to be meeting together for the breaking of bread, Paul was saying your sign may say it, your bulletin may say it, but that's not what you're doing. That's not what you're doing. It seems that the early church had often tied in the Lord's Supper with a meal, often called a love feast. But in Corinth, it seems that this meal had come to overshadow the real purpose for which they were to be gathering, to remember the Lord. And the problem was their attitude being manifested in their actions with this supper. They were coming together not to think about the Lord Jesus, not even to think about one another, but to think about themselves. They weren't sharing their food. It seems that the appropriate way, according to Paul, would have been coming and sharing in community the food. But those who had food, they came and ate their food. And those who weren't able to afford any food, they sat by and watched. Neither was there self-control. Sadly, we see that there were even people who were coming to this feast tied in with the Lord's Supper, and they were getting drunk as they had come together with the believers. And Paul says, your actions are belittling the assembly and disgracing those who are poor. And obviously, Paul could not praise them for such behavior. He saw this as a very serious matter. And the serious nature of this is seen in the second aspect of this remembering. And we see that in verse 23. It's the origination. How did the Lord's Supper get started? Well, by way of illustration, we might go again back to the Memorial Day celebration. How did that get started? Well, with Memorial Day, it's interesting that there are a number of conflicting stories about the actual beginnings of this holiday. In fact, 25 or more cities claim that they are the birthplace of Memorial Day. It's kind of like us in Ohio trying to say who is the birthplace of aviation, right? We know we are down here with the Wright brothers down at Kitty Hawk, but they have their claim too. But more than 25 different cities said, no, we're the first place where we had Memorial Day. Well, none of those are conclusive, but in 1966, President Johnson officially declared Waterloo, New York, as the birthplace of Memorial Day. They were one of the first cities to really, on that day of celebration, to close all the businesses and to have a parade and really focus on that. General John Logan, if we want to go further back into history, right after the Civil War, he declared that May the 30th, 1868, would be the first observation of what was then called Decoration Day. Decoration Day because flowers would be placed on the graves of Union and Confederate soldiers. And they did it that year in 1868 on May 30th, placing those flowers on the graves of Union and Confederate soldiers at Arlington National Cemetery there in Washington, D.C. During the Civil War, there were organized women's groups in the South who were using flowers then to decorate the graves of battle casualties. And May the 30th became the traditional date until 1971, when in order to give the federal government a three-day holiday, the last Monday in May was designated as the celebration of Memorial Day. Interestingly, this year, those two things coincide. Tomorrow is the last Monday in May, and it is also May the 30th. But you know, it's interesting that, as we mentioned before, in that confrontation aspect of remembering, some of those folks who feel like that we have gotten away from the true meaning of Memorial Day actually feel like that part of the problem is the three-day holiday, which has turned the attention away from what it's really all about. So the origination of Memorial Day is not that clear. But you know, the origination of the remembrance of the Lord Jesus in the Lord's Supper and the breaking of bread is very clear. You can go to the gospel accounts. You can go to Matthew 26. You can go to Mark 14. You can go to Luke 22. And there you can find a record of eyewitnesses of people who were there when the Lord Jesus instituted this feast. People who were there and people who talked to others who were there. And then Paul, in our text this morning, he shares with us that he didn't just get the information from one of the disciples who had been there that night, but he said, I actually got it direct from the Lord Jesus himself. And we see that in verse 23. He said, I received from the Lord Jesus that which I delivered also to you. In other words, he had already taught them about the celebration of the Lord's Supper. And now he's reminding them that it originated with the Lord Jesus himself. We're reminded that Lord, the title of our Savior, one of the titles of our Savior, means Master. And when the Lord gives us instructions, those who know him are to respond in obedience. And it's been passed down to us through the Scriptures. And we find from reading the book of Acts that the early church, it seems, began by remembering the Lord Jesus on a daily basis, from house to house. And then it seems that for whatever reason, as time went on, they settled on the first day of the week, the resurrection day, the first day of the week, to gather together with other believers to break bread and to remember the Lord Jesus. And we find that in Acts chapter 20 in verse 7, where Paul was in Troas. He and his companion stayed there for 7 days. And then when we read that the disciples came together on the first day of the week for a purpose, and it wasn't to hear Paul preach. Now, Paul did preach. But we read there in Acts chapter 20 that the reason they got together that day, the reason they assembled, the reason they met was to break bread, to remember the Lord Jesus Christ. But then we move on and we see another aspect of this remembering is that of participation. Now in verses 24 and 25, we're going to draw out several aspects of this remembering. But let's read those two verses together again. We'll start at the end of verse 23. That the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, take, eat. This is my body which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. In the same manner, he also took the cup after supper, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. Another aspect of remembering in this way that we'd like to think about this morning is that of participation. Participation. When we think about Memorial Day, people choose to participate in that celebration in a variety of ways, some more appropriate maybe than others for the actual purpose of the holiday. We know that this is the most solemn of all of our holidays, and yet there's a great joy with which we celebrate the solemnity because of the freedom which is ours as a result of those who gave their lives for our freedom. I think it's interesting, and some of you have probably seen this recorded. Maybe some of you have even seen it in person. But I was very much impressed that since the late 50s, on the Thursday before Memorial Day, so just a couple of days ago, 1,200 soldiers of the 3rd U.S. Infantry go to Arlington National Cemetery and they place small American flags by each of the graves there, more than 260,000 graves. And those soldiers from the 3rd U.S. Infantry are participating in that memorial in a very appropriate way by placing that symbol of our country there. Memorial Day was originally designed to be a day when Americans could get together and reflect and remember and honor those who had given their lives in service to their country. And the Lord Jesus, as He instituted the feast of remembering Him, He did so in a way in which there would be active participation. And we read there in our text that the Lord Jesus, in taking that bread that night, the night in which He would be betrayed, the night before He would be crucified, He took that bread and He said, "Take this and eat this and do this." And then He took that cup containing the fruit of the vine, and He said, "Take this and do this. As often as you do this," He was speaking of participation. The Lord Jesus was speaking that night to His disciples, those who knew Him, those who had a relationship with Him, those who understood that He is who He claims to be, the Son of God, the Christ, who has come into the world. They didn't understand everything about it, and they would understand more later, but they believed that He was who He claimed to be. The Lord Jesus said, "I am going to die. I'm going to be rejected. I'm going to be mistreated, and I'm going to be crucified. But then after 3 days, I'm going to rise again." And these disciples saw Him resurrected. Yes, many of them saw Him crucified. They were confident that He had died. But later they would have a greater understanding of what we read in 1 Corinthians 15, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and He was buried, and He rose again the third day according to the Scriptures, and He was seen. And they were some of the ones who had seen Him alive. The one who had died was alive, and their understanding that He had died not as a martyr, not as an accident, not as a plan that went awry, but rather He died according to the sovereign plan of God. But that wicked human hands had taken Him and rejected Him and beaten Him and slapped Him and punched Him and placed a crown of thorns on His head and then nailed Him to a cross and hung Him there to mock Him and to spit on Him. But God took that event, and in His sovereignty and in His justice and in His holiness and His love, He would take the sins of the world and place them on His Son in 3 hours of darkness while He hung there on that cross, and He would punish His own Son for what we would do and be. And His Son would say, "It is finished." He would cry out with a loud voice, and He would commit His spirit into the hands of His Father. And then 3 days later, He would rise again from the dead, and He would appear to those disciples and say, "Look at the scars where the nails were, where the spear went into my side." And the Lord Jesus offers Himself. He offers forgiveness, not through a religion, but rather through a relationship with Him, through an acceptance of our own guilt before God who created us. That none of us have lived perfect lives, and that's what God demands, perfection, for God is perfectly holy. The Lord Jesus lived that perfect life. And then He went to the cross of Calvary and He died that sacrificial, substitutionary death for us. And all who will come to God and acknowledge, I am a sinner and I deserve to be punished for my sin. And that punishment, by the way, we know from the Scripture is the lake of fire. Weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth for all eternity, separated from God. And all who will come to God and acknowledge, I'm a sinner and I believe the Lord Jesus Christ died for my sins. And I receive Him as my Savior. With the heart, we believe unto salvation. And God desires that each and every human being would receive the Lord Jesus as Savior. And as many as received Him, to them He gave the right to become the children of God, even to those who believe on His name. And when we receive the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior, we are born again. We are forgiven. We are placed in the family of God. And we are given that great privilege of a relationship with the One who has made us. And He designed you to communicate with Him. He designed you to walk with Him. He designed you to spend eternity with Him. It can only happen as we receive the Lord Jesus as our Savior, as we place our faith and trust in Him. Only then are we brought into that relationship. Only then are we made new. Only then are we given that ability to truly live a life that pleases God. And only then are we truly qualified to come and to take that bread and to take that cup. It's not anything that we have done. Rather, it's what the Lord Jesus has done for us. And He desires an active participation for us to take that bread and to put it into our mouths and to chew it up and to swallow it and to take that fruit of the vine and to drink it from that cup in remembrance of Him, actively thinking about Him, actively reflecting on Him, actively offering up honor and worship and adoration to Him. That's His desire. We see in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, the church at Corinth coming together, and we have there insinuated for us an open meeting style, an open meeting format. And that's how we remember the Lord here as a local church. We gather together around the Lord Jesus with the emblems there, and it's a time, an open time for the males to lead us in coming before the throne of grace and offering up our worship to God corporately and remembering Him. So that aspect of participation. And then there's the aspect of representation also in those verses. There in Washington, D.C. tomorrow, there will be at Arlington National Cemetery, there will be a special ceremony at the tomb of the unknown soldier. And of course, that tomb is not only for the soldier or soldiers buried there, but it's representative of every soldier who has died without his or her identity being found. The Lord Jesus, in instituting this feast, this celebration, He said, "This is my body. This is the new covenant in my blood." Now, when you hear that phrase, "this is my body," and you talk to different people, there are different understandings of what this means by those who profess to be Christians. There are those who would tell you, if you ask them, they would say that bread and that wine or grape juice, when it is blessed by someone who in their minds has authority to do that, that it actually turns in to the literal body and blood of the Lord Jesus. There are others you would talk to, and they would say, no, it doesn't turn into the literal body and blood of the Lord Jesus, but there's a mysterious communication of Christ as He is, quote, in, with, and under the bread. Others would say that this bread and this contents of the cup, though not becoming the body and blood of the Lord Jesus and not in some way mysteriously communicating his body and blood into us, but still they would say it is what they would call a means of grace, that God's grace is actually communicated into our beings as we take the bread and we take the cup. But you know what? The Lord Jesus, when he instituted this feast, and he said, "This is my body," he was sitting there, reclining there in his physical body. Those disciples would not have understood that to mean that it would turn into his literal body, or that somehow his body would be infused into them in a mysterious way, or that anyway God's grace would be communicated by these elements. They were celebrating at that time the Passover feast. The Passover feast was a representation. They took those elements of the Passover feast that God had ordained back, and we have it recorded in the book of Exodus, and they knew that these were representing something. They were symbols, and that's what the Lord Jesus meant. You know, you could leave here today, and you could say, "Today I saw Mark and Kim's grandson." Maybe you'd say that if I can make this thing work. Let's see here. You would say, "You know, this morning I was at Shannon Hills Bible Chapel and I saw Mark and Kim's grandson." He's only 2 days old at the time, but I saw him. Now, technically speaking, you did not see our grandson. What'd you see? You saw a picture of our grandson, right? All right. I got to cut this off before his granny comes running up here and tries to hug him. You saw a picture, a representation of our grandson. And that's what the bread is, and that's what the cup is. It's a picture of his body and of his blood. That bread represents the body that was given for us. We have been reconciled in the body of his flesh through death. We have been sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. He bore our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, having died to sins, might live for righteousness. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement for our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we are healed. And we have in that cup the fruit of the vine representing that new covenant in his blood, that new contract that he has made with those who will come to him. He has purchased us with his own blood. He has justified us by his blood. He has redeemed us through his blood. He has brought us near through his blood. He has made peace through the blood of his cross. Representation. And then there's commemoration. Yes, he says, "Do this. Whenever you do it, as often as you do it," and the early church did it the first day of every week, and we do that here as well. He said, "Do it in remembrance of me." To remember the one that you know. Remember the one who gave his life for you. And as we saw earlier, more than 1 million American men and women have died in military service for our nation. What a debt we have to them. One of the men who was instrumental in the formation of this local assembly, Arthur Forbes, was married to our sister Dot Riley's sister Mildred. So Dot's brother-in-law, Arthur, he was one of those who originally was meeting in a home as this local assembly was just getting started. And during World War II, as he was part of the crew in a B-29 flying over Italy, and they were shot down and the whole crew died. And that man, Arthur Forbes, some of you probably, I'm sure Dick knew him, and maybe some of the others, you knew him, and obviously Dot knew him. I never knew him. But that man gave his life to help preserve the freedoms for each one of us who sit in this room this morning. And Memorial Day is an opportunity to remember Him, to commemorate Him. Likewise, the Lord's Supper. While Memorial Day is the memory of more than a million, the Lord's Supper is a memory of one. The Lord Jesus said, "Do this in remembrance of me." Of Him in His death, and also Him in His character. Thinking about Him, reflecting on Him. This morning as we remembered the Lord Jesus, we thought about His love. We thought about His power. We thought about His resurrection. We reflected on Him as the Lord led different brothers to share different scriptures and call out different songs and to lead us in prayer. We reflected on the Lord Jesus and our debt to Him, and we commemorated Him. We remembered Him in His death. And some people say that would get old doing it every week. As you think on the Lord Jesus, the infinite one, we will never exhaust His character. We will never exhaust His person. We will never exhaust the blessing of His work at Calvary on our behalf. What a privilege to just think about Him, to spend the better part of an hour commemorating the Lord Jesus. And also a part of that remembering we find is proclamation in verse 26. He said, "For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until He comes." A proclaiming, a preaching, so that we won't forget. We sang this morning in the Lord's Supper, "Lest I forget Gethsemane. Lest I forget Thine agony. Lest I forget Thy love to me. Lead me to Calvary." We need to go back to Calvary. We need to go back and remember. And you could say, "I can do that at home." And yes, you can, and yes, you should, but the Lord Jesus desired that we come together to remember His Son. We see that in the example of the early church, so that we won't forget the cost. We come together, remembering the Lord Jesus until He comes back. And then the last aspect of remembering that we'll mention this morning from this passage is that of examination, and that's in verses 27 to 34. You know, when these folks encourage us to think about Memorial Day as it was originally intended to be celebrated, they're wanting us to think back to a time when the war dead were front and center. Even though often they're not even thought about now. In December of 2000, a national moment of remembrance resolution was passed. And the resolution says this: at 3 p.m. local time, all Americans are requested to voluntarily and informally observe in their own way a moment of remembrance and respect, pausing whatever they are doing for a moment of silence or listening to taps. The writers of these websites and others who are concerned about the way that we celebrate Memorial Day, they are concerned that maybe picnics and trips and other things, while very appropriate for celebrating our freedom also may be overshadowing our remembering. And Paul was concerned that the believers in his day, and the Holy Spirit was concerned that the believers in our day, partake in a worthy manner. Our worthiness to be there comes from the Lord Jesus, but we're to come and we're to partake in a worthy manner. He wants us to discern the Lord's body, the body of the Lord Jesus that was crucified, God taking on flesh, becoming a human being, that He might die an agonizing death on our behalf, that He might suffer in His body. And also discerning, rightly looking at and considering the body of believers. We read in 1 Corinthians 10 that one bread also symbolizes the believers unified as one body here on earth. And one body, universal. We see that as we come, we're to have our hearts examined, our lives examined. That we be not like the Corinthian believers. God takes it seriously. They were bringing judgment on themselves. Some were weak. Some were sick. Some had died. Some were weak, sick, or had died, not because of anything to do with the Lord's Supper, but others were weak and sick and had died because of their attitude when they came to remember the Lord and to break the bread. We find that we should examine our lives, examine our attitudes toward sin, toward the Lord Jesus, toward one another. But the idea here is not that we would examine ourselves and say, well, I don't want to be guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord, therefore I'm not going to come. I don't want to take a chance. No, that's not what the Holy Spirit says. He says, examine yourself and eat of the bread and drink of the cup. That's His desire. God is a God of grace. God is a God of forgiveness. We have the right to come there because of the work of the Lord Jesus, to remember Him, to meditate on Him, to, as we sang this morning, to worship Him. Thee we worship, Thee we praise, Thee we honor, Thee adore, Thee we gaze on, Thee recall, Thee we reverence, Thee obey. What a privilege to think on our Savior, the Lord Jesus. So the challenge this morning is to examine our own hearts, to examine our own lives as we think of a Memorial Day for our nation, to use that as an illustration, a reminder for us to remember the One who did remember us, as the song said, that we might be obedient to Him. If you don't know the Lord Jesus as your Savior, I hope that the thoughts we've shared this morning concerning who He is and what He has done for everyone will pierce your heart, and you'll be convicted of your sins and drawn to the Lord Jesus, who loved you and gave Himself for you and who's calling you to come to Him. May the Spirit of God do that work. For those who do know Him, may our hearts be stirred to recognize afresh the importance and the value of remembering Him on a weekly basis with the people of God and coming together in a very simple way with hymns that remind us of the Lord Jesus, with scriptures that bring our attention to the One who gave Himself for our sins, to offer up prayers, to say amen to the brothers who stand and pray and lift up their hearts on our behalf, to offer to God thanksgiving and praise and worship for His beloved Son. If you're not in the habit of attending, I don't like to use that word habit, but if you're not normally coming to the Lord's Supper and you know the Lord Jesus as your Savior, we would encourage you, the elders here would encourage you, if you're seeking to live a life that honors the Lord and you believe His Word, we would encourage you to come at 9:30. It's a wonderful hour. You might have been before and so I didn't get that much out of it. Well, really, we come to give, not to get. But as we focus on the Lord Jesus, we're going to receive. Can I encourage you? Can I challenge you to obey the Lord in that way? If you do come on a regular basis, May those of us who do so be refreshed to remember that we're to come as active participants in remembering the Lord Jesus. What a wonderful privilege. Let's close in prayer. If we could talk with any of you about any of these matters, we would consider that a great privilege. I'll be at the door to your left as you exit this room this morning if I could talk with you. Father, we give You thanks for Your Son, the Lord Jesus. Father, as we think about our nation and the Memorial Day tomorrow to remind us of those who have given their lives, Father, that we might continue to live our lives in freedom. We thank You for our nation and for those who have given themselves. But Father, in a deeper way, we thank You for the remembrance that binds together believers of all time, all through the world. Father, Your Son, the Lord Jesus, giving Himself, and we hear His voice by faith saying, do this to remember Me. Father, He is worthy. We bow before You because of Your Son, the Lord Jesus, and we offer ourselves to You, our prayers to You. Father, we pray that You will work in our hearts for your glory. And we ask this in the name of your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. May the Lord bless you.